Hello, this is Tony Donadio, a.k.a. Andarian, author of the Sanctum of the Archmage module series, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo.
And this is Jay, Navika Naroda.
Hey, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
That's right, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter series of role-playing games.
Hey, Jay, in this episode we're going to talk with Tony Donadio, a.k.a. Andarian, about his recent updates to his Sanctum of the Archmage module series and what he's currently working on.
Cool. It's always fun to talk to Tony, just like we had the AME Awards to have him on last show. Hey, you know, we've had him on before. Do you remember the first episode we talked to him about the Sanctum of the Archmage?
Let's see. Let me look. 27.
Ah, good guess. If that was indeed a guess.
No, that's what your notes say right here.
Yeah, it was episode 27 back in May of 2007, and it's hard to believe that the show's been around that long.
Yeah, but I remember us talking about that at the end of the interview, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now he's saying.
You thought it was 28.
I did think it was 28, but I was pretty close. It was quite a while ago. I have a hard time remembering yesterday, let alone what happened in May of 2007.
2007, dude. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
So how much longer do you think we'll be around?
I don't know. We are catching a little momentum. So, you know, we did catch five new fans on Facebook.
You caught them?
Caught them, yes. They're not getting away now.
Are they still in the cage in the
back?
Yeah,
they are. I'm keeping them for later. So that's up five from last week. So
wow. So you think we have 75 people listening to us?
I hope.
Right now?
We only show 57 subscribers on our Feedburner. So there is a discrepancy, but I'm assuming that those differencing people are listening to it online instead of subscribing.
So it's not 300 or 400 like I thought.
Probably not. We've got to work on that and see if we can get some more listeners, and maybe we can do that by giving them some news.
Let's do it.
All right. Did you take advantage of the Cyber Monday deals for Neverwinter Nights 2?
That would be a negatory. Well, since I already have Neverwinter Nights 2.
Well, true, but you never had have enough copies of that.
Well, I'd heard that on Amazon and Walmart online, they were offering NW2 for $9.99.
Yep, $9.99. And I thought, man, I missed out on an awesome deal. But then when I checked the price last night, it was on sale for $12.99. So a deal, yes, but not necessarily a significant.
$3, $3, $3.
Maybe a burger or fries or a Coke somewhere, but yeah, it was
a small burger.
A small burger, yeah, true.
Hey, also we got a newsletter from the Worlds of Isimdor Persistent World. We had mentioned them, I think, in a previous news episode. They wanted to let everybody know that they've released their beta of their GUI creator for NWN2, and that they've also updated the World of Isimdor with new areas for possible creation by you, the PC. So that sounds kind of interesting. I don't think I've ever played or heard of a persistent world where you could actually create your own areas.
No, we've been involved in campaigns on worlds that our actions in the world were going to be represented by modders making changes to it so that you would actually see that, but not one where you, the player character, could submit some module or updates to be added to it.
But that doesn't mean they're not out there, though.
Oh, no. The first one we never heard of.
Well, yeah. We probably need to sick Brian and them guys on them and find out more about that, huh?
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, they're also adding swimming and horses to the update.
Yeah, I knew you'd get excited about the horses. I just don't wonder if they're going to have swimming horses.
We're in skinny dipping?
I didn't see that anywhere, but okay. Have you just committed the World of Isimdor for having skinny dipping in their world?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So they...
You're just focusing on the swimming part of that, aren't you?
They also added a view.
If you put the horses in the water, it would be skinny dipping, would it not?
If they were skinny horses.
True.
So they've also added some more dungeons, which gives more shines? gives more shrines which tell the story more of the island. So y'all need to check that out.
Yeah, I think I even heard they've got like 2,000, yes, that's 1,000 new items for roleplay players to use and craft. And some of those are even items from Dragon Age.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could add Dragon Age items into NWN2.
Well, I'm sure they just created the definitions, not directly from the Dragon Age game.
It's Trabe is difficult day.
And that's different from any other day. How?
So spread the word. I think they have a video out on YouTube also. We'll put that in the links.
Cool. Neverwinter Nights 2, Persistent World, a world called Legacy, Dark Age of Britain. This is a different module for you guys. It's not really based on the D&D rules. Well, rules, but not necessarily on the classes. It's got a whole bunch of new classes. It is touted to be equal part Arthurian legend and 6th century Britain history.
So they just launched? Is that what you said?
Yeah, according to the Vault, the announcement said that they've launched, but according to their website, they're still in beta. So there was a little discrepancy there. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to go with the Vault. It seemed like a little more recent post, and maybe they're just not updated the website on time. It's going to have featuring stuff like your old pagan faith of the Druids clashing against the new Christians from the Rome, and its belief in one god. It's got no alignments. You get 3 respawns. It's got completely original classes and abilities, dozens of new and customized spells, feats, and combat animations, creatures based on the mythology of the British Isles. It's got a whole lot of other stuff like a legacy system and a new combat system and things like that. I just am really enamored with the idea of that it being in Neverwinter Nights, but it being almost sounds like a complete redo of all the classes and feats and items.
Yeah, so there you go. There's another NWN2 Persistent World out there that's firing up. So
yeah.
So it sounds like we're getting quite a bit of NWN2 worlds coming alive lately, doesn't it?
Sounds like it.
That's good. That's good for the community. Hey, do you remember the DRM Monster Contest for NWN1 that we mentioned a few episodes ago?
Yep, I sure do.
So I heard that Balvadavor, I guess he was one of the ones who submitted to the contest. He's released his submission onto the Vault.
Yep, that's cool.
The Tale of the DRM Monster and the Treasure of Gog.
Kind of sounds like the definition of the contest, didn't it?
I think that's what you're supposed to name your module, isn't it? But for those of you who maybe not have heard about this, but if you listened to our previous episode, you did, hopefully. But if you're a new listener, one thing to, think about when you're going to play this small little module is it'll only take you like 20 minutes to finish because that's the rules. I guess I'm reading the rules here, right?
Ooh, yeah. Rule master.
And you can only have 10 enemies in the module, and only 3 NPCs can be in the module, one of which you cannot interact with. I'm not sure what that means, but
yeah, I don't know. Why would you have that? Anyway, frustrate your players? I don't know.
And then you can also only have 3 areas, interior, exterior, to interior. So if you're looking for a quick module to play with some awesome cutscenes, go check that out. We'll put the link to it in the show notes. So did they ever announce the winners of the contest?
I don't know. I did some searching after seeing that this news item was on the docket for today, and I could find the original post on the GOG website announcing the contest, but I couldn't find anywhere where they had announced who the winners were. So maybe that hasn't happened yet. But, hey, if you guys out there know anything, let us know.
So when you found this, it didn't say Baldivar was the winner. It just said he had released his submission?
No, actually, this was not on the GOG site, was not the source of this. It was actually on the Vault. I looked and see what the new module submissions were.
Oh, gotcha.
And noticed that this was for the DRM contest, and so I thought we'd pick that up and highlight that one.
Okay, cool.
So if anyone knows of interesting happenings in the community, hey, please let us know. There's so much going on out there in the Neverwinter Nights community. It's hard for us to keep track of it, and we're kind of relying on you to help us out. So you can send us either a Facebook message, or you can send it directly to us as a comment on the show, or show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. Any one of those ought to get to us.
Hey, and speaking of that, we actually had Brian from Realms of Maturity post a new update out on our Facebook.
Cool.
Some news.
What kind of news do they have for us?
Well, they're proud to announce their next chapter in their second campaign.
Cool.
It's scheduled to be released January 21st. And it's Chapter 5, Prologue, The Slippery Streets of Reeveshoff.
The
Reefshoff Slippery Streets.
And then also coming along with that would be the full Chapter 5, The Artificer of the Deep. Did I say that right?
I don't know. But, you know, we're notorious for mispronouncing.
Artificer of the Deep.
I don't know. It is getting deeper. The more you try to pronounce that, the worse it gets.
But I think that part is set in the Underdark. So you explore the Underdark as you make your way to the city of Chednesad.
Sweet. So, speaking of Realms of Trinity, what kind of content do they have for us this week?
Well, take a listen.
Hey, this is Kama.
And Brian from the Realms of Trinity.
We're here to cover Neverwinter Nights 2 for the Neverwinter Nights podcast crew.
We'll be featuring the Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent Worlds in an upcoming Neverwinter Nights podcast segment.
And we'd like to put a shout-out to the other Neverwinter Nights 2 Worlds and community members to be on one of our upcoming segments for the community. If you'd like to get on the show, drop us a line at
www.realmsoftrinity.com/forum and post under the podcast thread. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey, everybody. So we have with us this time Tony Donadio, a.k.a. Andarian, back on the show to talk about his award-winning Sanctum of the Archmage single-player modules for NWN. Welcome back, Tony.
Good to be back, guys.
You were just on the last show, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I get around, I guess.
So you've been pretty busy since we've been on a hiatus.
Yes, I have. I guess the last time I was on the show talking about my own module work was probably about 2-3 years ago. So in the interim, I've been I've basically been busy working on it at some level constantly, pretty much that whole time. And right now, working on new major project. You know, the third chapter of the series planning to come out, and I'm hoping to try to get that out sometime in the not too late in next year.
Well, hey, for those that maybe have not heard about your whole Sanctum series, why don't you start out and kind of give us a little background of the series and maybe how you started and then kind of take it to where you're at, to where you are now, and then we'll get into some of the new stuff that you've been working on. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Sanctum of the Archmage is a story concept that I started developing actually in multiple forms. It's had a long history, and some of the seminal ideas for it got started in a D&D session that I ran as a dungeon master way back in the before time when I was a lot younger than I am now, back in the early 80s. And basically what it was, it had to do with a world and a story concept regarding portion of the world that was in a state of threat from basically an evil warlord who had taken over a neighboring kingdom who had summoned basically an army of demons and was threatening all of his neighbors. And it was a story basically of heroes who fought against that threat. And over the years after that, I had developed a lot of ideas for the story, and some years later, I decided that it was something that I wanted to try and work a basically build into a novel. So I did some writing for that. I plotted out basically a whole series of about 4 or 5 novels that I had wanted to write, and I took some time off from work years ago and spent some time writing it and plotting it out, but basically it was something that I had to put on the shelf for because of the fact that I sort of had to sit down and focus on my career for a while. But it was something that I always had in the back of my mind. And when I discovered Neverwinter Nights modding back in the this is about 5 years ago, I guess I discovered modding about a little bit long before that, in like around 2004, 2005 time frame. Basically, I had played the Neverwinter Nights games. I started playing modules developed by members of the community, you know, player-based modules. And I got very interested in the whole idea of trying to tell a story through role-playing and through an interactive role-playing of the kind that you have with a computer. So basically what I did was I took a part of the story that I had only thought of as the backstory to the novels that I was writing and said, let me see if I can try and tell that part of the story in Neverwinter Nights. And the rest is pretty much history. So Sanctum of the Archmage is basically the backstory to those novels, and it's the story effectively of how the warlord the initial resistance to the warlord got started, and in particular it's the origin story of several of the major characters who would appear later on in the novels, the miracle worker and the princess Robin Blackwing, or in this case I had actually decided to write the modules in such a way that you could actually choose the gender for Robin, so Robin can actually be a Prince Robin or a princess. So that's basically the backstory, and it's the story of how the miracle worker, who is the protagonist of the novels, he is a character with a very strange gift of prophecy, the ability to project the future, that turns out to be the secret weapon against the warlord and the only hope of being able to defeat him. So that is the and the player gets to play the role of that of the miracle worker, and without saying too much more, if I say too much more, I'll start giving away plots. Parts of the plot. So maybe I should stop there.
What I was going to ask Tony was that you mentioned that you took some time off to work on your modules and stuff, and I know that you've stepped down from the AME, and that's given you more time to develop most of your modules. And I know that you've had some recent releases. Do you want to touch a little bit about what your your updates have been that you just released recently?
Absolutely. One of the things that I found.
Tell me about the recent updates that you recently told everyone about.
Do you mean the recent ones or the
yeah, that would be the ones.
Yeah, the recent ones.
Yeah, not the old ones. There's just the recent ones.
Sure. One of the things that I found is that after I had released the first two chapters, I learned an enormous amount about module making and about interactive storytelling. And I kept coming back and saying, you know, I really wanted to do such and such with it, but I didn't get a chance to, or didn't know how to. And then, a year later, I realized, I know how I could do that. Let me go back and see if I can add that. So what I've done actually has been to update both of the first two chapters probably about half a dozen times over the course of the last two or three years, adding major features. So the major ones that I've done in the last 2 years have been Sanctum of the Archmage version 3.2 and 3.3, where I added a lot of custom content features, things like rideable Pegasi. So the saga actually features player being able to ride Pegasi in the course of the adventure.
That's awesome. I'm actually looking at that right now.
Yeah, did you get? I have some video and some stills as well on my blog of that. And many thanks to Hardpoints in the Neverwinter Nights community, who basically did the modeling work that made that possible. And also Ninja Weasel Man, who did the romantic animation suite, which finally came out, and that now is used by the series for romantic animations. So hugging, kissing, that sort of thing. And a whole host of other little tweaks, additions to the modules that have added new content, new features, new dialogue, just to get everything just right to the point where I was satisfied with it and then could move on to the third chapter, and that's kind of where I'm at now. Last year I released version 3.4, and the reason I did that, in fact we talked about this last week when I was on for the AME, Chico 400 has developed the NWNCQ tile set, which basically revamps virtually all of the original BioWare tile sets. And my first module was made predominantly with the original BioWare tile sets, the Ancient Ruins tile set, the Forest tile set, and so on. And it gave the first two chapters, especially the first chapter, a very, very dramatic facelift. to rebuild it using NWNCQ, and it was actually very easy to do. So that was the one, last update that I had released this year.
Wow, I'm looking at some of the comparisons that you have on your blog.
Isn't that amazing?
Between the original BioWare and NWN and then NWNCQ, and it almost looks like NWN2.
It is really amazing.
Except for the characters on the screen, but the background and the tile set, I mean, or the skybox or whatever, looks very close to NWN2. And that, you know, that quality of graphics.
One of the things that a lot of folks have been doing recently in the last couple of years, Neverwinter Nights 1 custom content modders have gotten very serious about their craft. There are folks like Lord of Worms, Seasonal Forest, Sixes Thrice's Wild Woods, and Wildland style sets, and things like that. They have done such incredibly good work in basically building tile sets and in doing very detailed, high polygon count geometry, up-to-date textures. They've basically, you can't quite bring Neverwinter Nights up to the standard of modern games, but they've brought it a very long way.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
You know, almost to the point where it's not, you know, not that shabby compared to some modern games.
Okay, so now talk a little bit about your current project.
Oh, yeah,
You're doing a new, you're completing a new module for Archmage 3, right?
Yeah, this is basically a continuation of Sanctum of the Archmage 2, which I kind of had to end in a sort of abrupt way because I was in college at the time finishing my graduate work, and you know, I only had certain periods of time when I could build, and I got to a point where I just had to stop. Sanctum of the Archmage 3 basically takes over where Sanctum of the Archmage 2 ends. Sanctum of the Archmage 2 ends basically at a point where the player has learned that the warlord is about to prepare an invasion and is about to attack the resistance that's been organizing against him. And they have a very short time to try and find allies to basically build an alliance to stand against the warlord, which the miracle worker's talent for projecting the future has told him, if we can do this, we have a chance to defeat him. So he has to travel to another land, which is a major potential ally nearby, the Kingdom of Raich. And the subtitle of the third chapter is, you know, Sanctum of the Archmage 3, The Miracle Worker Act 2, and the subtitle is Mission to Raich. And the whole story is about how the player basically arrives at Raich, tries to convince the king and the nobles and the people of Raich that the warlord's attack is actually aimed at the resistance capital of Mount Cassandra, not at a different location where everybody else thinks the attack is coming. And the module is basically uncharacteristically for me, it's going to be in a much more nonlinear structure. I've typically done very linear modules where events follow in a very structured sequence. This is actually episodic. I've got about half dozen major quests, and then it comes out to a total of 22 quests. I've written a design document to keep track of all this. Over 60 pages, should be over 60 areas, 3 companions, 6 henchmen, 5 romances. I really had a very, very ambitious plan for this, and it's going to basically feature the player being able to pick and choose to some extent which how he wants to approach the quest to convince the king and to convince the nobles that they should support the alliance.
Did you find out that wanting to achieve that level of flexibility from the player's perspective is what caused you to need to do extra amounts of design to be able to achieve that?
That's one of the things. Yes. The other aspect of it is just the fact that I had I always had in mind that this particular module was likely to be the biggest. Simply because it's the biggest trip away from everything else that the player is doing. And I would definitely say that one of the reasons that it turned out to be this complicated is that that was needed to handle the more nonlinear structure. But the other reason is just that I kept coming up with ideas, and I kept, you know, not being able to stop putting them in.
I just know that 60 pages of design documents is more than I get on major projects at work.
Fair enough. Same here. Yeah.
Actually, like 2 pages of design documents would be more, but you know, 60 is a lot.
It's a page per area.
It is.
That's about what it comes out to. Part of my motivation was that I've been trying. I do have plans to try and build a team to do more of the work for the Sanctum series, because I've begun to realize that it's probably too much work just for me to finish everything that I have in mind for this. So I was hoping to be able to get, you know, some folks who might want to work on it with me. I've actually gotten a couple of folks who are interested so far, and in particular, I don't know if you remember Esther Lindis from the AME,
right.
This very, very talented custom content developer, and she's actually done some phenomenal work for.
Yeah, she's been on the show before.
Yeah, she's done some phenomenal custom work for the series, both for chapters 1 and 2. She did the custom heads that have, that were included in the 3.2 release, and also she's done an absolutely fantastic custom tile set for this chapter. What it is a custom flying tile set. Actually allows me to create an area in which players and characters can fly, basically above the terrain. And in fact, there was one of the screenshots that I think I sent you guys that had a picture of that tile set in action. So I'm really excited by that, because I've been able to been able to build areas with that and to create effects, scripting scenes where you can, be attacked by flying demons and then fly up to meet the attack and battle them in midair, riding on Pegasi, for example. That sort of those kinds of scenes I can actually build using that custom content. But one of the reasons I got around to wanting to write such an extensive design document was the idea that, if I ask people to work with me, I really have to give them something that they can work from. So my hope was that as I built the team, I would have some material that I could then get into them. Because up until this chapter, basically, I've been doing everything off the top of my head. And so that was part of the motivation.
And you have to have lots of candy for them, too.
Yes, absolutely.
I was looking at some of these screenshots that you put out, for this. looks awesome. I'm looking at the castle right now.
Mm-hmm. That's using Lord Rosencrantz's Rocky Mountains tile set.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was checking out the flying into the sunset image with the Pegasus, and the graphics are just incredible. It's amazing to think that that's actually Neverwinter Nights 1 screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm curious, do the Pegasi move faster than a regular horse? You're able to go across areas faster?
As a matter of fact, yes. Partly that's because I scripted movement rate changes. So when you mount the Pegasi, what happens? The way that Neverwinter Nights actually works with mounting is you mount when the player gets on the mount, the mount is destroyed, and the player's part of the player's model is replaced with a copy of the model of the mount. In particular, there's a tail area on, for example, characters can have tails. Well, you can actually also stick a horse in that tail area, as long as you get the geometry right. Yeah, and that's actually how mounting works. So basically, when you mount a horse or when you mount a Pegasus, it's all one creature. It's your character, but now you've got this whole horse body that's part of your character model as well. And so the movement effect affects the whole character. In addition to that, there's the way I have it set up is that the flying area is one that if you want to go flying, you fly up into the flying area, and then it's basically a broad overview. It's like a map of the whole of the Kingdom of Raich. And in fact, if you bring up the mini map while you're flying it, it's effectively looking at a map of the kingdom, and you know that you can look at and say, where do I want to go to? But there are, for example, there's little all of the areas. You know, you'll look down and you'll see like a little house model that represents one of the towns, and you fly down toward the town, and then you land, and there's an area transition. So the idea is that there's one big flying area that you fly up to, and then you can basically travel to anywhere, as opposed to having to travel through a series of ground areas. You can also travel through the series of ground areas, and there'll be things to find and things to see there. But the whole idea behind the flying is that if you go up to the flying area, you can fly to anywhere, and it's much quicker than it is if you travel through the series of ground areas.
Awesome. So basically you can control how fast or slow it is using your scripts.
Exactly, yes.
So, Tony, tell us a little bit about the philosophy and culture of the universe of the Sanctum series. Maybe what makes that so interesting to people before they play the modules or something like that, maybe.
Sure, I'll be happy to. I'll have to be a little bit careful because saying too much about that is actually a bit of a spoiler for the first two chapters. So let me just say that for the record, and if anyone wants to stop their ears, they can do that. But a big part of the story in Sanctum of the Archmage 1, the site, is basically an adventure in which you learn very shocking and surprising facts about the history of the world. And if, you know, I told you about these, you know, these demons who were attacking and had been summoned by the evil warlord. You learn basically what the origin of the demons is. And as I describe it on my website, you basically discover that you're in the middle of a cosmic battle between good and evil that's been going on for thousands of years. And there's a whole history. And a part of that history is a history of conflicting ideologies. The demons representing one faction. There are other factions that are involved, and they all have different ideologies. And the big part of the Sanctum series is basically my way of presenting different philosophies and how those philosophies affect the development of civilizations. And so the Sanctum story is not just a battle between good and evil, but it's a battle between worldviews, between philosophies. The demons who believe in predation, who believe in sacrifice, the sacrifice of others to self. The Provans, who believe in the sacrifice of self to others. The Undarians, not surprisingly, one of the factions I took my name from, and you can probably guess that they sort of represent my views on things, but the Undarians who are look at the Proven versus the Daemon philosophies as a false alternative, have a different set of views about that. So a big part of the Sanctum of Sanctum 3 is going to be developing these philosophic themes a little bit more than had been done in the first chapters. The first chapter definitely developed a great deal, but in Sanctum 3, I'm going to be revisiting, for example, the archetypes from Sanctum 1. You know, you discovered that each of the ancient factions had their own archetypes that they believed in. The demons believed, for example, had the archetype of the destroyer. The Provans, who are the gods, basically, who are basically in a cosmic war against the demons. Favor the archetype of the defender, you know, the warrior who defends and protects rather than destroys. There'll be a new archetype presented in Sanctum 3, the Undarian alternative to those two, which didn't appear in the earlier chapters. Player gets a chance to learn more about the religion of the world and how it has been influenced by these different factions. The history of the Church of the Divine and the beliefs of the Church of the Divine. And there's a whole lot of history, new history from the stories that'll come out.
So no wonder you spent so much time and put so much design into it. There's a lot going on here.
Yes.
I'm kind of just taken aback trying to think of how you incorporate all that, and it just blows me away.
Thanks. Yeah, that's one of the things that I found really interesting about it. I mean, and it's interesting too, because folks have commented on the philosophy of the series, which is very obviously there. I try not to hit people over the head with it, in the sense of saying, you know, here's a heavy-handed view of right and wrong, presented from one perspective and from another perspective. I like to try to let the player, to the greatest extent possible, choose his own philosophy and not make the modules be hostile, too hostile to that. But on the other hand, the modules will definitely have, themes that, one of the big things that I always try to do in my writing is I try to make people think about things. And there will be, in Sanctum 3 will have issues ranging from the meaning of money and the nature of money to the nature of, as I said, different approaches to violence. Violence for defense, violence for offense, or something else, that sort of thing.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, it's a great medium for this. I mean, what if we go to the movies and stuff for, and what does Hollywood always say they're trying to do is, they're putting their own spin and thoughts and philosophy specifically into it. And this is a great medium for that. And to be able to weave it into a story in such a way that you can enjoy playing it and be aware of those things is quite a feat. So hats off to you on that. I look forward to seeing this one.
Yeah. Hey, Tony. You said at the beginning, how long you've been writing these stories and making these modules available for everyone to enjoy. So, taking a look back, what would you say has kept you going and still wanting to continue with these stories and these modules and doing this?
There are several things that keep me going. One is that I just love the story. It's something that's been sort of coming out of my head for years, and doesn't seem to want to stop. So I just love the idea of telling the story, coming up with new ideas for the story. But also a big motivation for me has been my players. I think the best set of player fans that I've ever run into in the Neverwinter Nights community. People who have really been excited about enjoying playing the modules, really interested in hearing more about it, really giving excellent feedback, thoughtful feedback, folks who have been willing to help play test and so on. Mm-hmm. That really gives me a lot of inspiration, and that helps me keep motivation to spend the large amounts of time that are necessary to just bang my head against the tool set for ages and then come out with something, because the reaction that I get from people when they actually see the work is really something that I look forward to.
So what do you have planned for the future after you finish, the current Archmage 3 Act 2? What's your plans after that, if you want to share those?
Oh, absolutely. Basically, I have plans that will probably keep me busy for the next 10 years. that's a good thing. After finishing Sanctum of the Archmage 3, there's basically two, there's about another four modules that should come after that, to finish off the series. Folks who have played the series know that everything at this point is now leading to a climactic battle when the Warlord attacks Mount Cassandra. And the mission to Raich is part of the preparation for that. There are two other missions basically that have to come after that, this in the story. And the end of the second one basically will culminate in that battle. After that, there are two other modules that I want to build and that I'd like to build basically to bridge fully bridge the backstory to the beginning of the novels. The novels take place a number of years after the end of the events of Sanctum. I guess it'll be Sanctum 5. I guess it'll be Sanctum 7. Excuse me. They take place a number of years after the end of what I have in mind for the modules. And I wanted to basically develop the modules up to the point where the modules, the last module ends and the first novel would begin, basically right after that. And after I finish the modules, I plan to write them, to finish writing the novels, and hopefully I'll maybe able to get them published someday. So I have sort of a whole plan in mind for that. But the problem with how to build has been one that's bothering me for a number of years, and I love Neverwinter Nights, and I've been consistently going out and trying to find people who are developing really new custom content to keep it, edgy. But at a certain point, you can only go so far. Neverwinter Nights will stop being a viable medium to build modules in at some point. And right now, I'm in the middle of the story. I'm in the middle of the saga, and I can't really break it. I've talked about and thought about moving to Dragon Age, which actually is, in my opinion, better designed from a dynamics perspective for the kind of storytelling that I want to do with the Sanctum series. It's the gameplay is a little bit simpler. The features for dramatic storytelling are much better integrated into the tool set and into the technology. But I'm at a point right now where I just can't switch to Dragon Age because it would be breaking the story in the middle. So what I'm trying to do is aim for two more modules that will finish the Miracle Worker, the story told in the Miracle Worker, when the climactic battle at Mount Cassandra, and that will basically be what I'm planning to do right now is to finish that in Neverwinter Nights, and that would basically give players a sort of a closing point where they could play up to that point and say the story has reached a point of closure and they wouldn't necessarily feel that the story had been ended in the middle, even though there's much more that'll come on after that. I want to do two more modules in Dragon Age that will tell the story from after the battle at Mount Cassandra to just before the beginning of the novels. And hopefully I'll do that in Dragon Age. I have been giving some thought to trying to port the Miracle Worker starting from Sanctum 2 to Dragon Age as well, and I would love to do that. The only problem is there's no way I can do it myself with all of the other projects that I'm working on. That would require building a team, a fairly substantive team of Dragon Age developers, and I'm working on trying to make the contacts to do that. But so far, unless I'm able to manage that, there's no way that I'll be able to undertake that much work.
So I'm sure. People that are listening to this are probably thinking the same question that I'm thinking. What made you choose Dragon Age to finish some of this in versus Neverwinter Nights 2?
Several things. And one of which is that I have a long history of going back and forth on this. When Neverwinter Nights 2 first came out, I announced that I was going to continue the series in Neverwinter Nights 2. Uh-huh. And then what happened was, And this was back in 2007, and hard reality hit me in the head. And that hard reality was the tool set wasn't really stable yet. There wasn't a lot of custom content available. There were other issues that made Neverwinter Nights 2 not a very good platform at the time for continuing it. A big part of that was the fact that I needed I needed a lot of custom content for the story. For example, I was in the process of getting horse and Pegasus models integrated into the modules.
Right.
Those really weren't available. There was no horse riding in Neverwinter Nights 2.
Right.
And I wanted rideable Pegasi. The prospects for that happening anytime in the near future, back in 2007, just didn't seem to be reasonable. So I went back to building in Neverwinter Nights 1, and I kept building in Neverwinter Nights 1 until Dragon Age came out. I don't know if I've had a chance to tell you guys, but back in last summer, BioWare had an event in Edmonton, the Dragon Age Toolset Builders event.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they invited a dozen builders from the Neverwinter Nights community and Neverwinter Nights 2 community to come to BioWare Edmonton for 3 days, and basically they just unleashed them on the Dragon Age toolset, and said, we'll give you training on it, go play with it, and then tell us what you think. And I actually was very fortunate to have been one of the folks who was invited to do that.
Cool.
So I got. Yeah, I thought it was too, and they were. I was very impressed with Dragon Age from that, and that was what really motivated me. I was also a member of the Dragon Age beta team during the course of the year before it came out, and the toolset beta team, and I think the reason that I've settled on Dragon Age is because I think that the game is better suited toward the kind of thing that I want to do. See, Neverwinter Nights is a D&D based game, and D&D's rule set is very complicated and very extensive. There's a lot more options than are really necessary for the kind of story I'm trying to tell and the kind of game I'm trying to tell. Dragon Age was designed really with, if you look in the tool set, the features that are available there for cutscene development and for dramatic story development and dialogue development are really exceptional. And those are the kinds of things that I'm really looking at focusing mostly on with the Sanctum series. It's very role-playing, dramatic, interactive, visual, audio. I spent a lot of time putting together an original soundtrack for the modules, that sort of thing. So that was why I settled on Dragon Age as the next stage for development, because I think it's the best tool set out there for this.
That's cool. It sounds like you've put a lot of work and thought into all of this, Tony. And I think the community's better for it. Being able to play all of your modules and everything.
Yeah, and I'm playing with the other first versions of these and early versions of these that you have now updated. Was a lot of fun, and I know that a lot of people will enjoy the newest versions and will continue to look forward to new releases from you and hopefully and the team you wind up putting together around this, be it Neverwinter Nights or Dragon Age.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so anything else you want to let the listeners know before we sign off? Where can they contact if they want to be on your team? Where can they contact you at? All that good stuff.
Well, best way to contact me is I have a website at www.andarian.net, A-N-D-A-R-I-A-N. I have a blog at sanctum.andarian.net. And, of course, if anyone wants to email me, my email address is andarian@andarian.net.
All right, thanks, Tony, for coming on the show. Joy talking to you as always, and hearing about your projects are always exciting. So thanks a lot, and I'm sure we'll hear more from you in the future.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And until next time, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2010.